Welcome to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Running small businesses can be really, really tricky. It's such a juggle, and it's so often that we find we've got conflicting priorities, we neglect our health, we are trying to juggle children and work pressures and all those other things. One of the great things about having small businesses and even businesses which are expanding really rapidly is finding people who get it, who understand how to support you and what you're doing. You can have those conversations, and based on their own experiences as well as their obviously areas of expertise, they can really help. We have with us today Dr. Catherine Douglas, who's one of three directors at Allen Health, who has got this in spades. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Jackie.
I know that you're not just the doctor side of you. There's always so many other things you've got going on. From what I understand, mother of three?
That's right. Yep.
So mother of three, juggling a practice, and this is not a little practice. This is a practice that's got 30 doctors, 7 specialists, and a whole sack of things going on in the background. So how on earth do you do that? We've got to do this bit first.
Well, it's really important to look after yourself. Mm-hmm. So self-care and getting the balance is a constant challenge as a working mum. And I have had a very fortunate role model in my dad, who was a hard worker. Oh, my mum was also very calm and managed 7 children. I'm the eldest of 7. And so growing up in this really fun household has, I think, helped prepare me for dealing with chaos in business and life.
Right. So it's always a bit of life experience coming into a problem here.
Yeah, yeah. And I find that the important thing is to make sure that I get exercise for myself, that I look after myself, that I get enough sleep so that I can manage my routine at home, manage the family, you've got to keep your own batteries charged up to do a good job at work.
So when you're talking self-care, a bit of exercise, we're talking decent nutrition, not too many coffees in the morning. Is that the basics
all of that,
of it?
All of that. I think exercise is really important. And at the moment, there's more and more research coming out about the benefits of exercise, not only physical, but mental. It's a prescription for management of depression these days. You know, exercise is so important. And I balance, different aerobic exercise, weights, and then yoga because it's got a meditation at the end. I think exercise, number one priority, and that keeps me happy. And then I've just got more energy to do other things as well. And modelling that through our practice, it's really cool that we've got a practice team, our doctors and our health professionals, our receptionists, they're all doing that as well. And we even have participated in the last 4 years in the Fremantle Corporate Triathlon. And we've had a growing number of athletes. It started the first year, we had 14 athletes. Last year, we had 19 athletes out of our own staff. And then we put on a fun breakfast for the family on the Esplanade. So it's a team builder as well as really, modelling that message of getting fit. And, it's really good.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's taking that and making your life-work balance congruent with how you're choosing to run your business as well.
Yes.
I mean, you're not saying that everybody needs to be a triathlete.
No.
But that's a bit extreme. I mean,
we're not saying that at all. We're not saying that at all. But just saying, thinking about what's important. So self-care, good nutrition. Really, the focus, we want to get away from disease management towards focus or band-aid approach to disease, to preventative healthcare. So, we've got a logo of a tree, is our Allen Health logo. The tree is, showing growth and life. And it's green and it's holistic. And that's what we're really looking at. We're paying a lot more attention to preventative healthcare, wellness checks, getting people in for their, pre-cancer or cancer screening and nutritional advice and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So knowing how our GP practice works and some of the larger GP practices, which you do see around, and you do feel like you're sort of kind of as you're part of a big machine. This holistic approach, that sounds like you need more than that 10-minute standard sort of kind of in-out.
Absolutely, yeah. So I would, on average, see 3 per hour. We see a lot of people. Our standard appointment time is 15 minutes, but we encourage people to book long appointments if they need it.
That's already twice as long as my GP.
Yeah, so most of my patients book for half an hour, and then I might squeeze in a quick vaccine that'll top me up, and so I average 3 an hour. But it makes it much more rewarding for me as a practitioner, and it gives me the opportunity to do the preventative stuff. Particularly for men, and particularly for you know, working men, that tend not to come to the doctors very much because they're busy.
So while you've got them, get them all.
You got it.
They come in because they have a problem, right? They come in because they've got a sore toe. It's like, that's their agenda. My agenda is, oh, okay, so you're 46. Let's take a history, you know, lifestyle, smoking, alcohol, family risk factors, and, you know, past risk factors, etc. And if you actually take that history, it's really interesting. You know, you'll identify. People often comment that, like, no one's ever asked me that before. Like, there might be a family history of bowel cancer. They should be getting colonoscopies for screening. You know, this sort of preventative health stuff saves lives.
You do know that's why men don't come to see you, right?
Yes, yes.
And also the reason they've come is because their wives are so fed up with them complaining that they finally got into the doctor. So that's your first part. Looking at that as a business model, though, if you're seeing so few, for want of a better analogy, so few clients, have you had to set your business up differently to actually cope with the lower numbers and being able to practice as a holistic?
Yes, we do have a multidisciplinary team. So within the practice, we've got nutritional experts, we've got psychologists, we've got a physician who specialises in acupuncture and non-pharmacological pain management. We've got a general physician who can help us sort out some of the more difficult endocrine and sort of more complex health things like chronic fatigue. So we try to have a lot of interpractice referrals so that you're seeing an expert or semi-expert in that field. Mm-hmm. And it's also, I guess, trying to do the job properly. So I guess if you're a fast turnover practice that is seeing people really quickly, you're dealing with one problem per consult, whereas I'm trying to spend a long time and actually take a thorough history. I'm going to cover more ground. It's a bit like having a proper service of your car rather than waiting till something explodes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So we manage. I think we are doing a lot of what's called GP care plans these days, which are providing like a real health, individual health summary and an action plan for an individual person.
So you're based down south of the river?
Yes, we're in Fremantle. Yep.
And that's a really mixed up sort of kind of space, isn't it?
It is absolutely fascinating. We've got the full cross-section of multiculturalism, you know, all different socioeconomic backgrounds. We've got a lot of gay people down there, and we've got a special interest in looking after people with LGBTIQ background. I've got a lot of transgender patients that come from all over, York, Mandurah, Albany. People come because, you know, of knowing that the practice is offering holistic care for individuals that are not fitting in a usual box. The other thing about Fremantle, of course, it's a port city. So we identified that there is, you know, a great opportunity for providing good service to our port-based occupational businesses. We are very fortunate in WA of having, you know, the resources sector. And there's a lot of need to provide pre-employment medicals and, you know, the full range of work-related stuff. So that's a business that we've now developed. So out of Ellen Health, in March of this year, we've launched a new section of Ellen Health called Workwell Ellen Health, specifically branded to let people know that we're providing a dedicated OC Health service.
So by occupational health, you're talking about those pre-employment medicals, those return to work programs, the employer side of making sure that their workplaces are working like your workplace, where there's an expectation that everybody's looking after themselves and they're coming in the best way they can and they're not getting smooshed along the way.
Yep, perfect. I think, the pre-employment medicals and a lot of the work-related medical stuff has come from OC Health and safety requirements, but it's not about just ticking the box of, just going through the process. We take it really seriously. You know, people are working in, dangerous industries. They're driving heavy machinery. They might be, flying onto oil rigs. They've got to do their helicopter escape training.
Yes, they loved it.
Yes, yep. I've actually done it
it's
as well.
Great,
they had large and extra large overalls.
And you're not an extra large or a large
I'm
person.
5'1". Yeah. So that was interesting, doing that, getting wet in those big overalls. Yeah, so we try to use it as an opportunity, again, to talk to men who may not necessarily talk about their health very much, to really look at what's happening and also address things that people may not think enough about, like fatigue in the workplace. Mm. So, you know, we're recognising more and more the risk of accidents occurring because people are overtired, and shift workers are very prone to this. So having good sleep hygiene and, you know, paying attention to that's really important. But yeah, we do the full kind of workers' comp stuff, rehabilitation, back to work. We're very proactive in trying to have minimum lost time injuries, and that's really important to the employers as well in terms of their insurance, as well as, of course, having their staff back at work. And we facilitate random alcohol and drug testing. We are with Western Diagnostic Pathology in that respect. And it's really challenging, the opportunity for people to be sneaky these days and use all different synthetic cannabinoids. And so the testing, you know, it's not just straightforward. It's really quite complex. And so there'll be a screening test, urine or blood or saliva, depending on what the employer wants. And then we talk about a non-negative test. Yes. I don't say positive. It's non-negative. So it gets sent to the laboratory for further clarification.
That sounds more than just your arms go up, arms go down, you'll be right, mate, off you go.
Definitely.
Which is what the industry was so focused on for a long time there. When I was doing on-site health and safety myself, we would get these medical forms through. And the care the employers were taking to send these people to site, I mean, we're in smack bang in the middle of the Pilbara. It was middle of the hot season. And I'm going, what the heck? And I actually, on two separate occasions, got a not-negative drug screen sent to me for a person who was supposed to be mobilising to site, and I've looked at it and I've gone, did you not look at this before you sent it to me? And on both occasions, I've rung the guy to say, or rung the employer to say, this is, we can't take this. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I must have sent you the wrong test. And you're going, no, dude, we're not taking your guy.
Wow.
And it's, oh, well, I've sent you the wrong paperwork. We can just send you. It's like, no, really? And I think that, as you're saying, is that's changed people's engagement with their employees, their want to make sure that they're actually okay to go into the workforce, not just from an insurance point of view, but certainly from a people
safety, caring for your employees.
And I think with the industry, I'd like to hope anyway, it seems to be moving much towards that. We employ whole people, not just the work bit of them. And you can see that in the work which is being done around mental health for FIFO workers and all those sorts of things. So is that also an area that you can support people?
That is an absolute priority at the moment. In fact, my sister is now working with a group called Miners Promise, and this is an organisation set up to help support workers with mental health concerns. And it really has developed over time because of the high number of suicides.
Mm.
It's just so upsetting, the number of people that the marriages get really put under strain by the FIFO work, and often the first time people really know that there's a problem, it's too late.
One of the reasons I no longer work on site is I have dealt with, within the same job, two on-site suicides. Mm. And it's just the impact that it has on the workers, you know, when someone doesn't turn up for shift and you go, oh, geez, John, I know they had a few drinks last night.
Yeah.
And you go and knock on their door and there's no response. And I've gone, okay, I need to go, I'll go and get the EMO to come with it, because, of course, they've got the master keys. And you almost have this pit of your stomach fear of knowing what's going to happen or knowing what you're going to see when you open their door. And I always wonder if the person who has obviously lost their battle with depression or anxiety or whatever's led them to make that decision, if they believed that the impact would be as it is, if it would have helped change their mind. And I think that isolation or that feeling that nobody cares anyway is where you end up in that space. It's something which is horrendously huge.
It is huge.
So,
and the impact on that person's family, friends, the whole community. I worked in Karratha for a number of years, and it was just crazy. The impact on a small community of a death is huge.
Because it's not just, oh, that person, you know, I think people's initial reaction often is angry, and then they get annoyed with themselves or feel so disappointed with themselves for being angry to start with. So there's that. But it's, I know them, how didn't I see this coming? And it the circle of influence is just huge. And it's the kids at the school and the kids in their class and all these various layers upon layers upon layers. And there has to be a way of breaking into that and stopping it.
I think that, I mean, the Are You Okay program is a great start. I know it's so basic, but it's so important. Yeah, just having that level of awareness to asking the question, and also within the confidential realms of a doctor consult, mm-hmm. you know, if people can establish that trust and open up, you know, there's great treatments that are available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we encourage a very broad-based treatment for depression and mental health problems. You know, I recommend that anyone affected is, you know, getting professional counselling. You know, that's a huge part of it. It's not just medication.
It's not just here, take your tricyclic, you'll be fine. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. And then it's like your alcohol and drug management and exercise again, yeah. And nutrition, healthy food, avoiding the junk food and, yeah, all of that.
Moving back to what you were saying earlier about your appointment time, is having that link of appointment time, having that ability to choose that I'm not going to send, you know, 83 people through my office in the next hour. You can have a chance to have those chats, maybe identify, listen to some of those, maybe what's being said or what's not being said or what people are uncomfortable with in that space. Is that one of the reasons that you're doing this?
Definitely, yeah. And it's much more rewarding for everyone. You know, it's better for the patient, but it's better for us, the doctors. It's also really lovely. You get to build relationships with a whole family. You know, you might also get three generations of the one family that you look after, and you kind of get to understand their dynamics, and that helps you in the future as well.
And preempt, obviously, some of the issues, because so many of the issues that, you know, obviously we've touched on do have a slightly hereditary.
Oh, huge. It can be a really big hereditary basis. Yeah.
And it's not just necessarily a physical change, is it? It's a modelled behaviour. You know, this is what I see is normal, therefore this is how I'm going to behave. Now, Ellen Health, obviously, you're sitting there in the space of being a very involved in the community type practice. I mean, some of the things we've talked about. That extends a little bit further from what I understand. I heard earlier that we've got a bit of a Robin Hood thing happening here.
Yeah, very much. Look, you know, it's really challenging seeing people that are really doing it tough. And many people in our community are really struggling. We've got street people in the community and, a lot of people that are really struggling. So we do a lot of charity work. And this is, I guess, where us three directors, Marcus, Helen and I, have had an approach where we've tried to set up our business model such that we can charge appropriate good private fees for people who can afford it to help offset the bulk billing that we do on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's just really important that, unfortunately, Medicare has gone down in real terms over the years and we can't survive on it. So we have to get a bit savvy, but we don't want people to be unable to access the care they need because of money. So we try really hard to, you know, we've got a social moral conscience to provide good care for people, which again, it ends up coming back to you in the positive vibes where you can really connect with people.
I guess that's why perhaps some of the practices who are not running a model like yours, the bulk billing practices, have got to a point where they have to see 60 clients an hour, not quite, but you know what I mean, all that rapid high level of turnover with that single appointment, single problem thing, because otherwise they're not making the money that they
need
to.
It's hard, you know. I really feel for people that are trying to do that, because I'd get an ulcer working like that. And, you know, the other thing that happens is we end up having patients say, oh, I just went to the bulk billing practice down the road to get my medical certificate or to get my script or look after my, you know, sore throat. But now that I've got a real problem like depression or, you know, fatigue or that something they're genuinely worried about, they'll come to us because they know they want it done properly.
Well, I guess it depends on if they can't see the value in getting a medical certificate or something from you, then I guess that's a bit of a juggle. But they are recognising the fact that you rock when it comes to actually really looking after me. I guess that gives you the chance to, obviously, the way they've got children or areas of higher concern or more complex problems.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the other thing that we do, which has worked out really well, is we're open 7 days a week. So by doing extended hours, we're open evenings to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday, and then we just do all day Saturday and Sunday afternoons. But it means that a lot of people come to us in the evenings or on the weekends that attend other practices, and then they get to see, oh, these guys have got a great treatment room, and we've got really good equipment and lovely nurses that look after them, and that has, you know, helped us grow, because we've experienced a huge growth in turnover since we've established in the new building in Fremantle. So it's going well.
So back to that work-life balance you were talking about.
Yes.
How do you manage that with an extended practice hours 7 days a week?
We have lots of people in the team. We have over 30 doctors, and we've got lots of lady doctors that are going in and out of maternity leave. So everyone's part-time, but by having the big, yeah. But it's actually really nice because they are better informed to be able to providing good health care to other mums when they've experienced it themselves.
That's true.
Yeah, so we've got a big team and a fantastic practice manager who helps get the rostering happening.
Okay, so sharing the workload, obviously, and having three principals or three directors is unusual for a practice. Often you would find they will have the one, so I guess that assists
It's so important because it just means that we've got people on site, so if we do have a problem, we've got backup. Yeah.
30 people being juggled by a fantastic clinical manager who keeps all the rosters so we've got no gaps and everybody's still getting sleep. And
that's the goal, and she mostly does it,
and still manages to get time with their children or their dog or their whatever is important to them, getting the breaks. With a business model that works juggling so many people and three different directors, how do you keep the high standard and quality of care and consistency for your patients that you find yourselves on?
I take it really seriously. We review patient feedback. We have independently run surveys and audits, as well as there's health engine reviews and there's a feedback box in the waiting room as well. So we have a number of sources of feedback, as well as any time that there's a verbal, if someone phones with negative feedback, I address it. That's actually one of the jobs I've taken on as a director. Pick up the phone and address it personally. Mm-hmm. And I say, thank you so much for letting us know that we didn't meet your expectations today. And we're really sorry to hear that. We do strive to provide excellence in services. We're not just trying to do a mediocre job.
Yeah.
And I'm really disappointed that we didn't meet your needs today. Can you tell me what happened? So just get the feedback. Let them tell me exactly where we failed. And again, thank them. Try to work out, is it a systems problem? Is it a doctor problem? Is it a patient problem? Try to work it out. Mm-hmm. Be as unbiased as possible and give feedback and apologise. So if it hasn't been to the standard that we aspire to, and we make amends in whatever format is appropriate. And so by doing that, that has helped a lot in providing excellence in services. And getting the message to our team that if we have a complaint, I'm reviewing it. I'm going to have a chat to the doctor if it's, involving a particular person and say, look, this is the feedback. Do you think we could have handled it better? What's your feedback? So it's a continual process of evaluating what we're doing and trying to do better. Mm. We have weekly admin meetings for the directors. We have monthly team meetings on an evening. We put on pizza and drinks for the staff. So
of
it's
course,
a bit social.
Yeah, as low, well low as, carb, low vegan.
Oh, actually, it's not always pizza. We do have gluten-free pizza. We had our dietitian doing a cooking demonstration in our last monthly meeting.
How fantastic.
It was fun. Yeah, yeah. All, really healthy foods. We have like a half-hour admin meeting, brainstorm any issues. So that's really valuable, again, in trying to make sure we're keeping up high standards, as well as we have an educational a speaker from somewhere, like a specialist comes in and has a chat to the team as well. So that's also providing an educational opportunity. We have that monthly meeting, and then every quarter we have like a big vision sort of statement meeting that the directors, and we get our accountant and our IT going in, and obviously the practice manager, and that's sort of the goal setting for 3 months, reviewing the figures. And I guess what I'm saying is you have to be organised, have some discipline around the way you run your business, and then the benefits flow on from that.
Just listening to you, it sounds like you've got a really lovely, almost dream business, from want of a better word. And by dream business, I don't mean it's really easy to run and you make billions of dollars. What I mean is it's ticking the boxes for your team and what's important to you guys.
Well, it's also thinking about our team. All of our staff are so valuable to us, so important to us. We don't have any bad staff. That's another thing. You need to be careful in business to employ the right people and nurture the people. So we, again, as the directors and practice manager, we try to keep in contact with all staff, doctors, nurses, reception staff, connect with them if they've got a personal problem going on or the health issue or whatever. Just have a chat and say, look, you know, I noticed that you're a bit stressed, or I heard your daughter's sick, or whatever it is. Do you need time off? You know, is there anything you can do to help? Yeah. And so by fostering a nurturing environment in the staff, that has also, I think, led to a greater stability. So we've got less staff turnover, and again, looking after ourselves means that we're in a better position to help our customers.
Absolutely. And the thing, I think, where you've got that nice stable team, you've got a high quality of service, everybody's there on the same page, and you can hear that when you're talking about what's important, how you choose to then behave with respect to your clients and your customers and your patients, and how they feel about the environment. Because if you're working in a space where it's a not normal space, where you're providing this holistic, really excellent quality of service for people who perhaps might not feel comfortable with either who they are or where they are on their journey or what they're trying to achieve, you walk in your door, you can feel that when you walk in a business. You go, actually, these guys, yeah, this is a safe space to be. I can be more open about that. I've got time to talk. I've got a longer appointment. I'm not going to rush in and rush out the door. I can do this. And that sounds like a real strength of Allen Health.
Yeah, we're really proud of what we've created. And, you know, we just want to keep on building that, and I guess get the message to the business clients that we're forming contracts with to say, look, we are really all it is. We want to hear what you need from your health provider and just try to create those solutions to the individual needs of your workplace.
So what's next for Allen Health?
Well, we've pretty much maxed out our physical space of where we are. And so it's really exciting that we're looking at providing more on-site services, sort of outreach services to businesses, so we can come to you, basically. And that might be simple stuff like doing flu vaccines in different businesses, and the alcohol and drug screens, skin cancer checks, wellness checks, talks about nutrition and mental health, whatever. So we can do sort of site work. We already do some work for the ships that come in, frequent the port, you know, the P&O ships and things like that. So we're just looking at ways of sort of outreach, and we've got opportunity of building sort of relationships with oil and gas clients, particularly because I've worked in Karratha. I've got sort of a lot of networking and connections up there, and so it's good, you know, that it's very complementary.
If we've got businesses out there which are looking to work with you, so in partnership with creating programs for their staff or even their clients, that they actually go, this is a little bit different. I don't want someone to just come in and go, do my employees' arms go up, arms go down, give me a rubber stamp and they'll be right. That sounds like you're the best person to talk to about this.
Well, maybe not me personally. We've got
okay. Allen Health is definitely a good space. Yeah.
That's right. Well, meaning that we employed a business consultant to really build those relationships with our companies, and so Gerard Stoop is providing sort of a personalised service, so we sort of encourage people to make an appointment with Gerard, and we've empowered him to be able to go and do site visits as well and meet with people.
So we don't have to book in for a clinical appointment and say, oh, actually, I'm not here because I've got a sore elbow. I'd like to talk to you about my wellness program. Cool. So what's the best way for him to, or people to get in contact with Gerard?
Probably the website is the easiest way. Allen Health phone number is 9239 0200. And there's the Allen Health website, and we've also got our new Workwell Allen Health website as well.
So from a workplace point of view, jump on the Workwell website, put an inquiry through there, and then someone will get back to you to discuss what needs to go on. That sounds absolutely fantastic, and it's so nice to hear that we've got obviously what's a traditional GP, for want of a better set of words, and to put you in a box, which is so wrong, but a group of people that have moved past that need to generate the Medicare-based income and going, actually, you know what, this isn't why we got into medicine. This is about helping people, understanding them, and really making a difference. So thank you so much in advance for all of the work that you're doing for, obviously, Fremantle. Hopefully we can spread you across Perth and we can go from there.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.